Have you ever been waiting and watching for something, or maybe there was something that was going to be coming around and you were waiting for it, and the time started to stretch out? In other words, you were looking for it and looking for it and looking for it, and then all of a sudden it didn't happen. And then you started to get distracted by the things that were around you. And then what happened was, a little bit later on, what you were looking for took place and you missed it. If you are like most people, those have been things that have happened to you in your life. And today we want to look at yet another one of the parables of Jesus that's concerned with being prepared for his coming. And hopefully we're not going to find ourselves distracted or being pulled to and fro in other situations. So grab your Bible, come on back in just a minute. We're going to be looking at passages that come out of Mark chapter 13. I'll see you in just a second. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We're tickled to death to have you joining us for our Bible study this evening. A moment ago, I mentioned that we're going to be looking at passages out of Mark's Gospel, chapter 13. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn on over to those passages with me. And we're talking about the fact that so often what happens is we can get distracted. Sometimes we can get easily distracted. Sometimes it takes a little bit more for other people, and a lot of that depends on your personality. But I can just think of time and time again in my life where, you know, I was sitting there waiting for something. I wasn't sure exactly when it was going to happen. And one of the illustrations I use around our church very often is that during the wintertime, when it snows, what generally happens is if we're going to have a change in our schedule or a change in our schedule for the day on a Sunday, we'll usually put that on the news on TV and it scrolls across the bottom. Well, you put all your information in and it's listed in alphabetical order. And inevitably what will happen is I'm that guy that wants to make sure that it's scrolling across the screen. So I'll sit there and wait and watch. And then all of a sudden it'll get up to the C's, which Central Baptist Church would be in. And I'm sitting there waiting, just diligently waiting to see it come by. And then something will happen. The phone will ring. The doorbell will ring. You know, something will happen. Somebody will drop something in the other room. And I'll turn my head for just a second. And by the time I look back, they're past the Central Baptist Church mark in those C's. They have to wait for it to come all the way back around again. And sometimes we can find ourselves very easily distracted. And the passages we're looking at today are concerning the time in which the Lord will come again. So we obviously don't want to be distracted. Now, some people are sitting there saying, and I've heard this very often, particularly from a pastor's vantage point, people say, well, you know, people have been looking for his coming for thousands of years, and it hadn't happened yet. So, you know, all of a sudden people are doubting, first of all, whether it's going to happen, number one. Number two, they sit back and say, well, you know, I believe it's going to happen, but they get distracted with life going on around them. So look with me, if you would. We're going to look at our passages beginning in our text at Mark chapter 13, beginning with verse 32. So Mark chapter 13, beginning with verse 32. It says, but of that day an hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming. In the evening, at midnight, at the crowning of the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he finds you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, as we come to you today, we pray that your word truly would pierce our soul, that it would be, as your word describes it, quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, I pray that today that we might be encouraged through your word as we follow you. And then, Lord, I also pray that we would be strengthened by the words that we will hear that come straight from your gospel text and gospel message. Lord, help us in all that we do to magnify you. Teach us and lessons today that only you can. Be with us, your servant, Father, for these few moments, that you would be truly high and lifted up and would be exalted, that you might draw all men unto you. And Lord, we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so when we look at that passage, some of us have looked and said, you know what, we're not very patient people. And sometimes our patience gets tested. I know that I'm that way. I said we live in an instant society. We have drive-through windows. We don't like to wait on anything. So that doesn't really cater to somebody who really is not a patient person by any stretch of the imagination. So what are some things that we want to learn today from our text? Well, one of the things that we want to learn from this scripture today is that we need to acknowledge our limitations in knowing the time. And when I'm talking about the time, I'm talking about the time when the trumpet will sound and the dead in Christ shall rise first and the rest of us are caught up together to meet him in the air. For ages, people have speculated. I mean, they've come out with calendars. They've come out with different things and they say, well, the Lord's coming back on this particular date. Well, folks, right now that tells you that that's completely unbiblical because the Word tells us, in which we read today, no man knows the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is going to come. And there's something very special about that. Yet not knowing when it's going to happen means that you and I need to be prepared. We need to be ready. I think for me, one of the most frustrating things in the world is to be halfway prepared or to be in a situation where... I know for me, as one of the drivers for the North Carolina Baptist on Mission, I have a truck, a tractor-trailer truck assigned to me. So throughout the whole year, I try to make sure that everything is working properly, that it's fueled up, that the service is done on it, that anything that looks a little sketchy gets repaired. So that when the time comes that we have to deploy and go somewhere in an emergency, I don't find myself outside on the side of the road having to be towed in because I didn't do that maintenance. I wasn't prepared. Well, folks, we really need to be prepared for the day of the Lord. And that's what we're going to call it during our time here today is the day of the Lord. And we need to acknowledge that we have limitations in knowing what that time is. Now, I want to call your attention to one of the passages in our text today. It's Mark 13 and particularly verse 32. It says, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. So that tells you right there that nobody on this earth is going to be more privileged than the Son or the angels in heaven, okay? So the bottom line is, if you think you know it and you think you've got it figured out, let me go ahead and assure you right now, you are wrong. Because that would be in complete contradiction to what the Word of God says. The Word of God tells us right there. If you don't believe it, mark it. Mark 13, 32. Of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. You see, Jesus clearly states that the timing of his return is unknown to all except for the Father. This reveals the limitations of humans. And even the angelic realm of understanding concerning these divine events. Now, it's not that God just wants to be a simple killjoy along the way, and it's not that he just doesn't want us to know. But the thing about it is, we need to be prepared. I know that some of you watching, and I laugh because in some ways I'm like you, in some ways I'm not. There are some of you out there that if I said, hey, look, let's go for a ride, the first thing you're going to say is, where are we going? And then you're like, well, how are we going to get there? Are we going to eat? Are we going to stop for gas? How many days is it going to be? And the list just keeps going. You like to be prepared. I get that. I understand that. But what happens is, particularly, I've often said of my list makers, if something changes, if something spontaneous happens, they go nuts. Maybe you're one of those people. It's like, it's not on the schedule. This is not the way it's supposed to be. Well, Jesus is telling us right now that the timing of his return, nobody knows that except the Father. You see, the mystery surrounding the exact time of Jesus' return should redirect our focus from trying to predict the timing to preparing our hearts and being ready for when that time comes. You see, the limitation serves as a call for humanity, and it underscores our reliance on God's timing and on God's sovereignty. Now, all of us understand what timing is. Some of us sometimes struggle with what that definition of sovereignty is, and I've often said one of the easiest definitions of sovereignty is this, that God can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants, to anybody he wants, and he is justified in doing so. That is the sovereignty of God. So what do we do with that when we understand those things? How do we make application to it? I've always said one of the most important things that you can do, particularly when it comes down to your Bible study, is when you learn a concept or you see some biblical concepts, how do we make application to those things in our lives? That's what's important. It's not good enough just to have head knowledge. You need to have a heart knowledge, okay? So how do we apply that? See, we should resist the temptation to speculate or to fixate on the signs of the times, but rather to focus on living in obedience and readiness. You know, how are we faithfully living out our days with the knowledge that His return could be at any moment right now? The question is, are you ready? If it happened right now, it's so funny because there are times when people would get ready. I've seen this happen within my family. I've seen it happen with families in our church and probably some of your families that are watching here. When all of a sudden you're like, okay, you know you're going somewhere. Say you're going to go out to eat and you're like, okay, let's all go get in the car. And then somebody's like, oh, I got to go to the bathroom. I got to grab my pocketbook. Or even you get in the car and, oh, I forgot my cell phone, you know. Not ready to roll. Well, listen, folks, when the time comes, it's going to happen in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and we best be ready for that. So that's one of the things that we need to understand. Let's not dwell on sitting there trying to pick dates and times, but yet let's dwell on being prepared every moment of every day so that when this happens, when the time comes, and when He calls us out, we will be ready. Another thing we want us to see in this passage today is the call to stay alert and to be vigilant. All right. If you look in our passages in verses 33 through 35, it says this. It says, take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is. That's plain and simple. Do you see that in that verse? You can't guess. You do not know when the time is. Verse 34 says, it is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. In other words, be ready. Verse 35 says, watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning. You never know. So the idea is to be perpetually ready. To stand ready. There are several parables throughout the Word of God that tell us that. Think about the parable of the wise and the foolish virgins, those who showed up, you know, to the wedding that were prepared with lamp oil, and then those that were not. And you see that whole thing, and the Lord is telling us we need to be always ready. You see, Jesus uses the metaphor of a man leaving his house to emphasize the importance of vigilance. Okay, the servants are given responsibilities. Now, you and I are given responsibilities as well. The gifts, the talents, the abilities that God has given us, He has given us responsibilities. And while He is away, and you get what I'm saying, I'm making the application to our parable today, there's an expectation that we use those gifts, talents, and abilities for the Lord, and that we are to be watchful, for He could come back today. Let me ask you this question. How many of you got up this morning and said, you know what, today could be the day that the Lord calls us out to meet Him and to be with Him in the air? Did you do that? Or did you just get up and go through your typical routine of each day? Are you prepared? Are you ready? You see, the servants were given responsibilities, and one is specifically assigned to keep watch. Your job. You know, you've heard that old expression, you had one job. Okay, here's his one job. You are to keep watch for when the master returns. You see, this parable communicates the necessity of spiritual alertness and readiness. Jesus entrusts his followers with responsibilities just as the servants have tasks to fulfill in that household. We too have roles in God's kingdom and are called to be watchful stewards. Remember what a steward is? A steward is somebody who looks after something that belongs to somebody else. Are you being a good steward with the talents that God's given you? Are you being a good steward with the time God has given you? Are you being a good steward with the wealth that God has given you? Once again, how do we take this and apply it? You see, we need to identify the role that God has given each and every one of us for His kingdom. How can you fulfill these responsibilities with diligence and with vigilance, staying spiritually alert each day as though Jesus' return was imminent, as if you were looking for it before the end of the day? In other words, you're sitting back saying, you know what, it really could happen today, and I want to make sure that I am prepared so that it doesn't take me by surprise, so there's nothing that is left undone. I want to stand ready before Him when that time comes, okay? Third thing I want us to see out of our scripture text today is the warning against complacency. Now, all of us know what complacency is. You might not be able to sit there and give me a Merriam-Webster definition of it, but all of us know what that means. So in our text, particularly verses 36 and 37 of Mark chapter 13, it says this. It says, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping, and what I say to you, I say to all. Watch. Okay? See, Jesus ends this particular passage with a warning against being complacent in our spiritual walk, being complacent in our relationship with Him. And He's urging His followers to remain awake and to remain watchful. You see, His command to watch is a universal call to each and every believer. And that means you. If you are watching this broadcast and you are a person that is a born-again believer, that you are a son or a daughter of the Master, then you are told, just like those in the New Testament, that particular scripture verse is for you as well. Remember what it said? Lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. If he were to come right in this moment, would you be sitting there with your head down? Would you be staring at your shoes? Would there be some things that were undone that should have already been done? Are you prepared? Noah, verse 37 says, and what I say to you, this was talking about his addressing those in this particular passage in Mark. He said, what I say to you, I say to all. That includes me and you. Watch. Are you ready? Are you prepared? Okay? He's ending with that warning against complacency and urging his followers to remain awake and watchful because his command is to watch. Is for each and every one of us. Now, the threat of spiritual sleep is complacency and being unprepared for Christ's return, plain and simple. Yet by staying spiritually awake, we demonstrate faithfulness to Jesus' command. That's why it is so important that you find yourself in the Word daily. That's why it's so important that you pray daily. That is why it's so important that you gather with like-minded believers in a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. You know what? It's so interesting that the more we go into time, and I know this is, and people say, well, it's 2024, preacher, you're a little old-fashioned. Maybe I am, but here's what I do understand. The Word of God does not change. And what I see more and more in our day and age is that people want to align the Word with their life rather than aligning their life with the Word. And why is that? Not long ago I preached on the fact that I think what happens is there are so many people that are confused because they're getting their theology, and a lot of it is errant theology, even from the pulpits of churches. I've told my church, I said, you know, I want you to trust, but I want you to verify. Whatever comes out of the pulpit of that church needs to be verified through the Word of God. And if it doesn't match up with it, then it is time for us to stand up. It's time for us to call out the preacher, even if it's this one, and say, that is not what the Word of God says. Why is that such a problem today? One of the biggest reasons is because most people don't know the Word of God. Now, I shared this illustration with you, and most of you have heard it before. You know, those who work for the government to identify counterfeit bills, they don't go out and study all of the counterfeit bills. That's not how they come proficient in identifying what is counterfeit and what is real. No, what they're taught is they are taught the real thing so good that anything outside of the real thing sticks out like a sore thumb. And that's how they identify it. Folks, the same should hold true to you and I spiritually. We should know the real thing so good that anything outside of that sticks out like a sore thumb, okay? Now remember, kind of, that was a little rabbit trail, but the threat of spiritual sleep is complacency and being unprepared for Christ's return. And that's not what we want. You got to stay spiritually awake, and you need to demonstrate that faithfulness to Jesus' command. All right, so how do we apply that? We need to evaluate areas in our lives where spiritual complacency may have taken root. And you know what? Some of us know that. The Holy Spirit's already told you where that is even before I ask you that question. Where are those areas in your life that we have allowed spiritual complacency, maybe even spiritual lethargy? That's a 50 cent word right there, being lethargic or being lazy. Where have we gotten spiritually lazy or complacent or sleepy in our lives? And I will guarantee you that if that's gone unchecked, you have allowed those things to take root in your life. So if you can identify those as the Holy Spirit has called them to your attention, what practical steps can you take to rekindle your spiritual alertness and ensure that you are living in a state of readiness for His return? Big question, right? Okay. You see, Jesus' discourse in Mark chapter 13, verses 32 through 37, teaches us about the mystery of His return, the necessity of being vigilant and watchful, and the danger of complacency. Those are really the points of this particular passage today. And as believers, we are called to live with a sense of urgency and readiness without succumbing to the speculation about the exact time. And I know, listen, it's pretty cool to read through there, and you sit back and you might say, maybe this could be the time. Maybe this matches up. You know what? That's fine. Don't dwell on that. Don't get caught up in that situation, because, you know, I've said before, if you think you know when it is, that's not going to be when it is. I will just about guarantee you that because of the passages that we have read today. Okay? So what do we need to do? We need to commit to a daily practice of prayer, spiritual meditation, and fulfilling your God-given responsibilities with faithfulness, the things that God's called you to do, the things that you are going to be standing accountable for when you stand face-to-face with Him, okay? And here's another thing. We need to encourage one another within our community, you know, to remain vigilant and to encourage others to live with a heavenly perspective as we collectively await the Lord's return with anticipation and hope. You know, when you come together, you know, we need to encourage one another, because sometimes it gets to the point where you're like, you know what, I've been waiting around a long time and God hadn't shown up yet. And you start to get distracted by all the things that are in your periphery, all the things that Satan's going to throw at you, specifically designed to keep you from paying attention and being diligent to follow the Lord. He's trying to distract us. And unfortunately, we allow Him to do a really good job with that. We are distracted spiritually. You don't think so? Let me give you a couple of things. Why is it that it seems that God's people don't look any different than the world? Because we seem to talk like the world, we seem to live in the world, and most of the time we're actually living of the world, not just in the world. Nobody is seeing us as being separate, because we have been called out as children of the Lord. And you know what? When we look so much like the world, we're not being the witness God wants us to be by allowing others to see Jesus through us. You know what? We can talk just as nasty as the unbeliever. We can do people wrong just as bad as the unbelievers. And that is giving spirituality and Christianity a bad rap today. That's giving the church a bad rap, because people sit back and say, well, if that person right there claims to be a church person, and if that's what it is, I don't want to have anything to do with it. But are we expecting today, even those of us who are born again and we know and we're excited about that particular day, are we spending our moments with that thought in mind, that before I take my next breath, I could be standing face to face with the Master? I hope and pray that you can, and that you will take that opportunity to be able to evaluate what the Holy Spirit has led in your life, and that we might truly find ourselves practicing prayer, meditating on the Word of God, and using those God-given abilities and fulfilling the responsibilities that God has given us, and that we're doing that so faithfully that others truly see Him within us. Okay, I'm going to pray for you particularly in that manner here in just a moment, but I want to tell you what our passages that we're going to be reading and looking at this particular. regard. Would you pray with me before we dismiss today? Father, right now I pray to you that as we gather in your presence, that we've heard your Holy Spirit today, and Lord, that we don't find ourselves in an area of complacency when it comes to, you know, our walk, when it comes to fulfilling our duties. And Lord, I pray that each and every day we get up, that we're excited about today could be the day that we might look you face to face. Father, I pray that we're all prepared to be able to meet you in the next moment, in the next heartbeat, that there's nothing undone that needs to be taken care of. Lord, if there is, I pray that your Holy Spirit has led each and every one of us to those things that need to be dealt with immediately, and then, Lord, we would immediately not wait, that we would go and take care of those particular things. So, Lord, I pray that we will do so with a good, clear heart before you, ready to meet you before the sun sets on this very day. Lord, give us a great week as we go through whatever it is that you've got us doing. Lord, our jobs, our schools, our workplaces, wherever it may be. And Lord, help us to be a blessing to those that we come in contact with. And Lord, we do lift this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, folks, thank you again for taking the time to join us for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I want to give you a personal invitation to come visit us for our Sunday morning services. They start at 10:45 a.m., and we do have other discipleship opportunities throughout the week. You know, we have some small groups. We've got Sunday school. We've got Awana for the kids. We've got several other things that you can become involved in, and we certainly would love to see you. If you make your way to Central Baptist on Sunday, be sure to holler at me. I'm Pastor Roy. I'd love to meet you and shake your hand, and we just want you to come worship with us in spirit and in truth. I hope to see you Sunday. God bless. Have a great week.